Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back, and it is now or never, and that debt is fraud. We will do a future show on that and the details. But with that, let me kind of dive a little further forward regarding your appeal to heaven. Let's make sure that we try to cover the bases. Let's make sure we're sanctifying, you know, these appeals, these pleas. Folks, I know there's a lot of really good spiritual people. And we don't live in Sodom and Gomorrah. It may be far more evil today than even Sodom and Gomorrah, as the framers saw evil in the world, because we live in a time where they actually keep people to kill so that they can extract their organs so that other people, whose lives apparently are worth more than those who they keep, to use those organs, apparently because their life means more to do that for them. That's the level of evil. The idea that a human being can get in a plane and fly to China with the entitlement of taking another person's life so that they can have a new liver, lungs, heart, eyes, I don't care. That is an evil society that I don't think anybody imagined. And I think that that may have been one of the things that John the Revelator was going to, his hand was held on that, so that it wouldn't be put in, oh, well, you threw the idea out there, and they took it and ran with it. No. We're living in a time where it's not Sodom and Gomorrah. There is good, righteous people. And so the Lord's not looking for 100 or one. He's looking for all. All good people need to rise and take a stand. And the word, the operative word, is interposition. That's why Madison and Jefferson used that word, not nullification. Well, actually, they did use nullification, but that was a completely different process. That's not the process that they were seeking, which is why they didn't nullify, which is why they took the stands that they did. And we go through this, and if you go to the academic source documents, the ASD page, the academic source document page, the second section down, the five critical documents, just listen to that conversation that we have when we read these documents on nullification and interposition. So this way, folks, if you read those, you'll start understanding the fundamentals of how our government is supposed to be working and who has control. So with all that, let me just keep moving on with the obligatories. Your campaign should have began already. You're already behind. And so put your running suit on and your running shoes and, you know, get ready for a sprint to start your marathon off, because you're already behind. So with all of that said, I know that it's just common that when you speak, it's easy to speak out of turn. And it's easy for me to say things that make people cringe. I stand by what I said, but it may be in a view or a paradigm that you may not have had context on or understood, but nevertheless, I do believe that there is a need for me to reproach myself, because I know that I deal with people who attack me. And so I may attack organizations, but I don't necessarily try to mention names or insinuate that these people I'm dealing with are evil and bad, even though there's some evidence that is, you know, showing that what they're doing blindly, because anybody that gets word on some generic personal attacks, oh, well, and, you know, folks, this is how the devil manipulates us by the way we respond and the way we guard ourselves. When we look at a politician, I know the character means everything. But what really means the most, at least to people with this paradigm of Christianity, the character is everything. That you know, if that person is not perfect, then, you know, there's a line where they say, these kinds of transgressions are unforgivable. They should never be representatives. Well, if you could get away with making that the law, you would probably find yourself, you know, kicked out of the country, because those kind of laws would be unconstitutional. The fact of the matter is that we are all flawed. We've all sinned. We've all, and even as we move forward, we turn to anger. We turn to, you know, like the dog turns to his vomit. I mean, we all, you know, are struggling every day not to turn. And so I deserve a level of reproach if and when I actually do come across. Now, there are people in positions like President Trump. He's in a position where he has a legal obligation to do some very specific things. And I give him the credit that I think that he doesn't understand what he's doing and that he is being misleaded. And we've been talking a lot about Doge. And as a matter of fact, I was shaming somebody because somebody could have, and actually Maria was the person, Maria Zach, and she could have come back to me and said, hey, I'm creating this spin on what you're doing. Give me your thoughts on this. Because I would have told her this is a complete perversion. You don't look at things as whether the costs are legitimate or, you know, whether you want to spend that money or not spend that money or think it's good to spend the money or isn't good to spend the money. The whole point of Republic Review was to literally drive this perception, not even perception, drive the legal fact that the federal government does not have the authority to exercise these powers. And so I'll dive more into that, but my point on this reproach, because that's where I'm at, I'll get into all of these things as we move forward today, but I deserve a level of reproach if I sometimes get carried away by saying something that may be attacking the person themselves or their character. I know, and I don't want to know, your transgressions, just like I don't necessarily think you want to know my transgressions. And I think that, you know, that should be really between you and the Lord. And that I'm hoping that as a patriot, you have the character and the resolve to do one thing and one thing alone. Now, unfortunately, if you happen to have, you know, a deviation, if you wander in your marriage and you commit adultery or you drink a little bit too much or what have you, as long as you don't have loose lips that sink ships, as long as you're not, you know, getting exposed and exploited for committing treason and giving information, sensitive information that you, because you've received that you shouldn't be giving, those types of things. I mean, because I believe what matters is how you support the Constitution. There's all sorts of things that happen in your personal life. And as a matter of fact, impeachment is there for that type of purpose. Impeachment is no longer there for anybody other than the president and the vice president. So those are the only two that are always subject to impeachment. There's no other way to remove them or to punish them or to censor, whatever you want to call it. They need to go through impeachment. But everybody else that's in public service falls under the illegal obligation that they must support, actively support the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic, and those who are enemies or supporting enemies or giving aid and comfort to those enemies by allowing them to do these things. Those people that are not supporting the Constitution, like I said, and they're actually running attacks against the Constitution or allowing them to, they are to be immediately removed. This is the law. And if we actually started focusing on getting people to say, I will live up to that law, now we've got something going. You know, let's not worry too much about the personal character. You know, I mean, again, we're not going to find perfect people, but we can find people that we can hold accountable, and we'd want to find people that wanted to be held accountable. That is the kind of people we need to look for, because I'll bet you anything, if they do want to be held accountable, they're probably a little bit better control of their lives. This does not mean that they don't have the character or the capability of being tempted and transgressing or creating a transgression. Does that make sense? In other words, you know, when you're giving somebody a position to go into that gives them access and authority and so forth, it is only common that the evil forces try to tempt and lure that person into behaving badly so that they can exploit that to get them to do evil things. You know what? If we didn't care about them getting exposed, as long as they never defied their oath, that's what should matter. But because they're so scared of the punishment of being exposed because of the atrocity of their sin. Now, you know, pedophilia is just one of those things. I'm sorry. You know, that's a character flaw that's not acceptable. Adultery, it still shouldn't be acceptable. It shouldn't be acceptable. Whether you've done it in the past or not, and you know, say, I'm beyond that, then we should take you for your word. Or it shouldn't matter as those things have passed and we're going to presume, or actually, I always tell candidates, if you're going to be bit by something because it's public knowledge that you had an affair, if it's public knowledge that you've done this, you committed this crime, you stole, you know, got caught embezzling, whatever it is, be in front of it and say, you know, I've transgressed. I'm not a perfect person. Nobody is. And I know if they look at this transgression, but my heart is completely changed. And I ask that you know, look at how I've been and how I've behaved since then. That's what we need to be looking for. That's what we need to be looking and demanding, that people hold the character of supporting that legal obligation to this Constitution. You're not obligated to do bad things because our constituents want us to, you know, do things that aren't constitutional by going and getting jobs to move to your state or congressional seat. That's not their job. They don't have the authority to do that. And even though you may want them to do that, they don't have the authority. So we got to be a part of the solution by not asking them to do the wrong thing. Anyway, and it's very easy how we can contribute to the wrong things. We need to change our paradigm. We need to change our paradigm to demanding that and only that, and quit elevating and quit riding on, you know, these moral characteristics when they shouldn't matter. And as a matter of fact, you know, unless that person has really created such an atrocity of a sin, there are some things today that our society does not punish. They do not punish. You cannot go to jail. You cannot lose liberty, property, or life for adultery anymore. Used to get stoned. But it is just one of those sins that you don't even go to jail for. So there's all of these types of sins. If there is no ability to charge a person with a misdemeanor of it, in other words, it's no longer considered a crime, then come on, folks, let's light up a little bit. I'm not trying to get moral turpitude to go rampant in our legislative bodies. I'm trying to get us to focus on the thing we need, the character of fulfilling that legal obligation. if you find somebody that's actually going to do that, they're probably going to actually, if we don't worry about those other things, they'll probably already be in a good state anyway. And when they take, if they get elected, boy, the one thing that they'll be very guarded at is making sure that they support the Constitution. Let's focus on that. I know that so many people are just so caught in the judgments of sin and so forth, and I'm going, come on, folks. If you can't see how that's the problem, that's a good part of the problem. Because we actually allow good candidates that have changed their hearts, you know, and want to prove themselves. Sorry, they're just not up to our standards. And I want a good Christian to actually put themselves into that position to say how godlike they are, how more Christ-like they are because they're that way. Because I don't think Christ atoned because he expected us to be perfect. And I know that he wants us, and they love us, and they help us, right, to the Spirit, Christ, and all that. I think that they're trying to get us to be better people. But we have to stop using scorched earth attitudes with ourselves and each other, period. So enough grinding on that axe. Let me move on to say that it's really unreasonable for me to try to do sales pitches on what really needs to happen. It's just, I can't do it. I don't know anybody that can. There's people that have the ability to create pithy little sound bites to say, hey, Republic Review is the only way we're going to do this. But you have to have some credibility where people go, huh, now what does that mean? You know, because this guy, he knows what he's talking about, so let's look into this Republic Review. There's no way, even in a show, I can cover everything. This is one of the reasons why I write academically. This is why I lay it out there, and I give you the citations that all support this. This is why we go through the documents, so you hear the framers actually telling you that this is what has to be done. Okay, so this is why I write these articles, and it would be a great use of your time to actually read these articles. Now, I've been told, you know, these are deep articles, folks. Do you want? We'll never save this union if we only, you know, if we only read 101 books, you know, basic entry information. You'll never become a master in cabinetry. You'll never become a master in mechanical engineering if we linger constantly on the 101. Somebody's got to get into the 501, you know, or you know, the finite details that need to be done so that you can see the problems and how to address them. And I don't believe that this is science. I don't believe it's that difficult. I understand that it makes people feel uncomfortable because some of these things they don't know, the words, whatever it is, folks. You know, let's adult up. Back in the framers' days, I mean, you know, maybe there was no shame in being literate, but there was shame in not being patriotic. There was shame in not supporting the Constitution. May not have been able to read it, but they knew it was important because the people they trusted almost explicitly told them so. So, one of the things that I want to do, and actually I think this is a question for President Trump, why doesn't he start actually driving publicly the point of how much more evidence is it going to take for Congress to actually start impeaching these former presidents, i.e. Biden, Obama, Bush, and Clinton? They've all done terrible things where they should actually be impeached. Ah, because maybe going down that line of holding the Constitution as the line might make him vulnerable. This is where we find ourselves constantly in the honor amongst thieves paradigm. Now, it's one thing for Trump to say, you know what, moving forward, we've got to stop doing this. But I'm telling you that, you know, if you have people that constantly walk the line of saying moving forward, that just pushes the line down the way. But I do believe that a person knowingly instituting policies like Biden, Bush, Obama, and Clinton, they actually pushed agendas where they knew what they were doing was wrong. In contrast, Trump, he's been ignorant. He does not understand the Constitution, which is why he's made so many mistakes. And it's not because he wants to be a laughingstock. Now, he may actually have, you know, a clear understanding that he doesn't care whether it's constitutional. As a matter of fact, this past Monday, not today, but last week, I believe they were having this, the conversation with Marcone and these interviews, or actually the questions for Marcone and him and so forth. And he came right out and said, this is not about the Constitution. That didn't land very well with me. And it bothered me that it didn't land well with, or I should say, it didn't bother anybody other than me. And I think those people that may have heard it that actually care about the Constitution, that probably rubbed you wrong. There we go. This is why we need to start haranguing when it comes to public officials and their position and what they should be doing. It's not personally attacking them when we point out that they should be, by the merits of their office, by their obligations of their oath, they should be doing these things. So, this goes down to what I was really drilling into on constitutional literacy, and this only proves how someone like Maria Zack, who doesn't understand, she didn't take the time to understand Republic Review, creates this concoction of let's just go after things, the financing of things that we don't like. Because clearly they're not drawing the line to say this is constitutional or isn't constitutional. Because if they did, and they actually said, okay, everybody in the Department of Energy is gone, that's not an enumeration within the Constitution. Everybody and all these buildings were shutting down because of the Department of Education is unconstitutional. So every penny being spent by the federal government and their employees, their retirement, all of this, it's gone. You know what? That's a very heartless thing to do to all those people over the past decades that have submitted their lives and careers to these different departments and are now collecting a retirement, to be told that you don't have a retirement anymore. Wow. But the fact of the matter is, if it's not legitimate, we can't be funding it. If the retirement was based on illegitimate law, we can't be funding it. So we'll get into this because that's what it's all about, folks. That's what Republic Review does. Republic Review proves that the Department of Transportation is not a constitutional executive power or a federal power. It's not. What they do is not within the Constitution. Only the Coast Guard. And the Coast Guard actually should be falling under the Navy, not the Department of Transportation. Because that is a legitimate constitutional function. But everything else, I'm sorry, that needs to go back to the states. And see, here's the problem. Trump is going to constantly be butting heads with lawyers and judges to say, hey, you know, you're firing these people and they have a right to these jobs. You can't do these things because you're not putting it into the proper perspective. You're saying, we don't need you anymore. And you know what? They can try to make those cases. They can try to go down that case, but why waste your time? Why waste our time in trying to say, well, I don't like this and we don't want this to happen, when the real argument that wins it every day, every time, batting 1,000, is that they have no constitutional authority to be doing these things. These are not enumerated. And shut it down. We'll be right back.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I know, you know, so back to last week or last Friday and today, and, you know, bringing up Maria again and her GGG group, and shoot, if I it's not worth doing. The point is this, she could have easily contacted me. She could have easily said, hey, GR, what do you think? I mean, I know what you've authored. I know what you've brought out. But, you know, see, what I've authored isn't an idea. It is actually a sound process that was established by Madison and Jefferson. Don't marginalize what these men have done. These men understood the law and the essence of contract law. Republic review is a fundamental tenet within contract law. We don't, you know, when I hear people say and they want to talk about, oh, this is within constitutional law, there's no such thing as constitutional law. That's not a classification of a law. You know, where do you go? And actually, they do have this. This is how they've aggrandized this whole thing. It's like Verizon law. Verizon law is a compact. Right? And so when you go through the compact of how every line is being stipulated and how we go, you know, dive into this agreement between the customer and the corporation Verizon, well, that could be got law. No, it's contract law. This is a way lawyers, and this is why typical opportunists want to, you know, okay. We don't call janitors janitors anymore. We call them custodians or, you know, facility engineers. You see my point? Because it makes them feel better. But why, if the job hasn't changed and the title makes you feel better, because there's something wrong with the title? Really? I mean, a janitor is basically the same job function. You're just changing a name. And so because we've created a stigma, oh, well, that has a bad connotation. You know, that's a person that's paid to do the undesirable work. And so I'm here to tell you, folks, that's a dangerous path. It's a dangerous path indeed when we actually try to placate people to make them feel better about what they do. I mean, is that how you want to raise your children? To try to constantly placate and make them feel better? I mean, there's nothing wrong with the fact that you know, that's poop on the floor, that's dog poop, and somebody's got to pick it up. Well, today, folks, actually, there are people, there are professional businesses out there because so many people just don't want to pick up their dog poop. It's just like landscaping. A long, long time ago, people didn't want to do their own landscaping, and because landscaping became this haughty paradigm that, you know, if you have a natural-looking yard, then shame on you. I mean, you should need to groom it, and it needs to reflect your character. It's like interior decorating. And I think we've gone way too far as a society to make the dressing and the appearance of things so much more important than the substance of the thing. And so my point is that when we look at landscaping, today we find landscapers making more money than nurses. Are you kidding me? I see plumbers bringing in more dough than nurses. Are you kidding me? I mean, I know that, you know, stopping a leak is important, but it isn't saving somebody's life. Oh, but because, and this is how the free market works. Because the free market kicks in and says, well, we can't get people to pick up dog poop unless we pay them a certain amount of money. Okay, this becomes the real problem. It is when we actually start setting wages, because we actually have this thing called minimum wage, which raises that ceiling up to the threshold of, you got to pay me at least this just to show up. Now, when I look at the state constitution, I'm just going down a rat hole here, but when I look at the state constitutions like Washington State, they don't have the authority. The state legislature does not have the authority to establish a minimum wage. There's nowhere in there where they can say they can set the wages for any given profession or a standard wage. So help me out here. Do we care about, you know, whether we're paying too much, or do we care whether they have the authority to do the work at all, period? Are you getting it? Because to me, folks, that's where we need to focus. That's where we need to go through this. So let me just kind of go through this, because as I continue to go through this insurmountable gap between DOGE and Republic Review, I need to reiterate this whole point of how Trump, his administration, and those advising him, really, probably more them than President Trump, they are being guided into color of law landmines, and he doesn't know this. And this is how devious our lawyers and our court system has become. They've created this labyrinth and these landmines that just, you know, it's ridiculous. And what's interesting is they don't even have the authority to do that. I mean, the fact that everybody's buying all of this as legitimate means that nobody has ever really understood this whole thing of what the Constitution really was sold, what it really meant, and we've allowed them to pretend all of the things it's not. This is why I constantly say those people who are, you know, trying to promote state nationals, sovereign citizens, general assemblies, and all of these things, their real problem is that they see what the government is doing as legitimate, when the real fact is they've never had the authority to do all of these things. And we now are at a point where if we started unraveling it, it would have such energy and have such force, it would change the turning of this world in a better way. Because all of a sudden, it would be you know that term? Remember, I think it was the Obama administration with Hillary Clinton, and I think it was in China, where they went with this big button that they were going to push, the reset button. Republic Review resets everything back to the framework of the government we're supposed to have. Now, one of the things you'll hear me say is I believe the states need to hold and convert the Social Security into a sunset program, I'm sorry, that will make sure that those people who have been lied to, that have lived their entire life by that lie of government, that they are not harmed. I don't have much feeling for, you know, all of the people who have worked, and I hate to say this, But you would say the same thing if you went to work for somebody that was lying to you and said, hey, you know, we're going to give this to you. And all of a sudden you come along and you get rid of that company because you come to find out they didn't have the authority to do anything that they were doing. And all of their liability, I mean, it's gone. And to be clear, when we look at our legal system, show me in the Constitution where reparations are legal, where they have to pay you for the sins or their problems or what have you. Because what that means is we have to pay ourselves. And that was not in, that's why it's not in the Constitution. It is far better to getting the government set right onto a path that will secure our liberty and secure and maintain the security of our sovereignty as a nation and as states, independent sovereign states. That's what's important. But the idea of foreign nations coming along and trying to extrapolate a pound of flesh over things that they never had the authority to actually make that compact or that treaty or that agreement with us. What I'm saying is they may have had money in their pocket and they may have said, we want to give you this money. But the reason they were giving us money was not legitimate. And they knew that. And they basically deceived their own people by saying, we're going to go and invest in the United States because we're going to collapse that system and take it over. Well, technically, that's the same thing as deceit and war. I mean, there are such things as camouflage and deceit. These are typical warfare tactics. We could learn a lot from understanding warfare tactics. I could just say that because when we start looking at what the federal government has been doing, like is Trump and his presidency, is he going to actually stop the chemtrails? Let's see the Supreme Court put a stay on, no, you can't do that. Do you understand the irony? Do you understand? I mean, it's like nobody's talking about this. Just on chemtrails. Look, how much money do you think it costs to put all those air sorties up to spray us from sea to shining sea? And the fact that we're spending this money to do it around the world. Folks, how come there's no axe falling? I still see planes up there today. Who's funding that, President Trump? They don't want to talk about that. So let me ask you this. Are we really being lied to? Is this a full deceit? Is it a full-on deceit? Or is this a naivete deceit? In other words, does President Trump not know about chemtrails? Does he not see that crap? I mean, who today cannot see how these planes flying over are creating this hue, this haze? And don't tell me that that's contrails. It's doing that is tantamount to basically telling me it's raining and pissing on my back. And everybody knows that metaphor. So excuse me for using it. But the fact is still the fact. That is not contrails. A contrail dissipates within a minute or so. Watch any of the planes go by. You'll actually see the contrail dissipate while you can still see the plane. Then these things that don't dissipate, that you keep on getting bigger and bigger and start spreading, what is that? That is not... You have to be completely ignorant regarding physics to accept the fact that that's a contrail. And I understand that physics is one, that's a troubling subject. I really don't know that much about it. It defies physics to say that's a contrail unless you don't understand what a contrail is. And so that's the whole point, because we are so ignorant, they don't even teach us that. If they actually taught everybody the fundamental basics of a contrail and how they dissipate, go watch the Blue Angels or the Thunderbirds in any of these air shows where they spray steam into the air. It quickly dissipates. What those guys are spraying is not the same thing. And so... Why is it that Elon Musk and the rest of these people aren't going after those things as well? You know what? I'm just going to tell you, folks, we're getting pissed on our backs right now by our government. And even because it seems like this is a great thing because we're saving money, they know they're not shutting down those things that will keep us going in the same direction. If the if it is President Trump's intention to truly make America great once and for all, constitutionally great, he's got a lot of work to do, and Elon Musk is not doing him any favor. I honestly, just subjective, you know, throwing it out here, I honestly see Elon Musk as somebody that is being positioned as a global leader. And I think that he's, you know, because look at this guy. He's trying to create the internet for the world with Skylink. I know people that are using Skylink, and they're paying for it. And I believe that when you really understand the whole concept of how the whole world got rich off of these guys setting up towers and making billions of dollars over a course of a few years of these investments because everybody was getting cell phones. This was a huge scam when technically, you know, the people that were building and using and everybody was paying access for these things, for your carriers and all of that. This was a scam. This is infrastructure. Your government should have done this. If your government feels that you having better communications is important, like you being able to get to work and be able to, you know, engage in commerce, then they build you roads. So it's the same thing. It is literally the same thing. And so this is what happens when we, the people, accept everything government does as legitimate. And this is why we're in this boat. Now, before I really move on, and I got 12 minutes left. I know I say this all the time, that I suffer having to listen to conservative entertainers. But really quick, this past weekend, I was suffering listening to Sean Hannity. And he actually was, you know, it's very informative, the evil that was being exposed by Sean Hannity. These people talked about these standards of vaccinations and so forth. You know, this is the best of Sean Hannity, though, right? I mean, it's got to get better. It can't get better than this. I guess that's the real oxymoron. But anywho, as I was listening to what he was saying regarding this idea that, you know, they've created this evil vaccination of children, and now this is being exposed. And he makes this comment, I'm just paraphrasing, that he just says, I don't think that parents can ever trust their own government anymore when it comes to vaccinations. And sadly, you know, he really believes that. And I have the conviction that their audience will never know the real truth. Because the real truth is the government doesn't have any authority to be creating vaccinations or to be involved in public health. Those things were left for the states. And this is why, I've said this last Friday, why the states cannot trust these things of a domestic matter, what is best for us strategically, cannot be trusted to that federal government. We need to do this. We need to do this for ourselves. It needs to start at your counties and your states. You need to start having committees to actually start, you know, creating this conversation. Because when we, the people, are talking, then we actually get a much better government. We actually get a much, and I'm not talking in a democracy thing. I'm talking about in a limited and defined government. Do we want government to really provide health care? Heck no. The facts are clear. Whenever government gets involved in controlling that type of thing, that is so personal and is so competitive, no way. But when it is not competitive, when it becomes literally a monopoly in service, then why is government not doing it when it becomes one of those essential services, right? Now, the truth is, none of these conservative entertainers have the care or the iota to tell you the truth. Mark Levin, Glenn Beck, it doesn't matter who they are. Even Bill O'Reilly trying to make his name back again after his problems. They don't care about the truth. I know Bill O'Reilly was reading my emails because he was actually addressing them. I can prove to you if you looked at the timeline of when he was responding to what I was saying. And you know what? He was doing more and more to basically, I'll just say, spin to maintain the government's narrative, like healthcare was constitutional. Judge Napolitano even told him so. come on, folks. Come on. Without going into the nuts and bolts, oh, yeah, because I'm a judge, you have to take my word for it. So Judge Napolitano, I hate to say this, folks, but based on what he said then, unless he's saying something different today, he's lied. And either he doesn't know the truth, and I believe he does. I believe he has an inkling that these things are not true. Anyway, in my heart, after all of this reproach and all of this coming out of the closet here, in my heart, I would find joy if I was proven wrong that these conservative entertainers and these world leaders really actually cared that when they found out the truth, that they would actually start promoting Republic Review. They would actually start promoting what Thomas Jefferson and James, there is no money to be made when the words Republic Review is used. It is only a constitutional concept. To be clear, judicial review is not constitutional. For them to be able to go in on their own in an active way and decide what they'll bring in is not constitutional. However, Republic Review, where the states have the ability to come in and review, audit, and get engaged and get in the grill of the federal government, that is absolutely constitutional. And if you don't believe me, you need to read these five critical documents and read them along with us. Go to the Academic Source Documents page. It's the second section on that page where I talk about the five critical documents, and go listen to part 1, 2, 3, 4 through 14. We actually go through word by word of what Madison said. And absolutely, this is constitutional. And so I believe Republic, and as a matter of fact, Douglas V. Gibbs and a lot of other people, when they finally realize, they go, yeah, that, you know what, that's smart. That there you go. You're actually building on something that actually was used in a negative way, unconstitutionally, and we can actually turn it. It's kind of like why I use fanfare for the common man, because and what it should have been was the fanfare for the Constitution, not for collective globalism of communism. Anyway, let me move back into this education because I got 6 minutes, so I want to get some more progress. My first recommendation, again, because we were talking about scuttling and we actually went through the dismantling of the education system. So my first recommendation is to move all classes to video content. In other words, the biggest danger that our education system has is that there's these evil adults ideologues that are in the classroom with your children, and there's no camera and microphone so that you can actually listen. And actually, imagine this, because we have the technology today. AI will do this. As a matter of fact, not just AI, there's other programs that are capable of creating transcripts, that you can actually get a transcript and do a word search and find out what the key things are being spoken of to your children in your social service or your social studies class or in art or what have you. And you'd be surprised how many times these ideologues cross the line. That's why they get into this, because they're so, this is where the missionary work is being done for Satan. This is where they're out trying to sell these lies and deceits to your children who are completely vulnerable to this. Do you understand why I chose the Department of Education as the number one? I see this as the one thing. You know, there are lots of things, and they're all equally bad. But I see the weaponizing of our children, the sealing of our fate, if we don't stop this now. And then we could start doing all these other things. We got to save our kids. So now we've gone to video content, and you'll have access. And the state can bring it in. They can either, and this what this does, the teachers union is going to look for my head. There's probably going to be an assassination attempt. And who knows, they may succeed. Folks, do you understand what I'm saying? The millions of teachers in the teachers union will be out of a job, and there'll probably be maybe 1,000, in the thousands, probably at best, not tens of thousands, but probably thousands of those who will be creating content for sale. Why go to a university anymore? Other than the fact that you go to a test. And why can't the government actually have the test? I mean, they do. They can conduct certification tests, or at least they've used the institutions. But if this is for society, why not create these standards of what it would take to be, an engineer? We've kind of done these things. The same thing with the doctor. It doesn't necessarily have to be government, but it shouldn't be the federal government. It could be your state and local government, or better yet, you could move it into the compassionate services, and some of these certifications can be done by churches and our communities, community services. But there needs to be a national standard, and this is why the states need to collectively work together to do that. And where does the money come from to pay for that? Well, as every single one of these congresses come up and they start creating these strategies of enforcing and so forth, the states actually have to determine whether they can pay for this or not by actually having the federal government tax for a very specific apportionment, right? We can get rid of income tax, basically get a taxation on apportionment again, so that that money that they tax us, because that's their job, they have the ability to do that. We'll tell them that this is what we need for you to give it to us. And whatever little overhead that's allowable for you to do, you know, for the bean counters, what have you, then fine. But that money will then be basically transmuted into the different states, blah, 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 however it's designed. So it can easily be funded, and it would be a fraction of what we're paying today through these bureaucracies. And we want to make sure that we constrain all of this. So folks, this is the critical thing. Right now, the federal government has been constrained to doing only very specific things, and they're not. So we have to actually wake up and say we need to understand constraining government. We need to understand that as we start moving away from this, you know, totalitarian state where they believe they control everything under the sun, well, no, that's not true. You can only do those things we've delegated. And now we're going to be very selective of what we delegate at this a committee or a council, a state council of education, a state council of infrastructure, a state council of blah. Why not? It would be far more effective. It would save us a lot of money as far as price and costs. And we would be able to actually move forward. When we look at internet, just like highways, right? Every road has, you know, government involvement. So every road should have a fiber running along it, just like power, just like everything else. And we've been using a private company to basically, you know, make a whole bunch of money for executives so that, you know, they can smoke big classy cigars and fly in their jets and so forth. When, why can't our state do this? Why can't our states collectively create strategies of how we and they can assist us in being more productive? Does that not blow your mind? Why aren't they doing these things? Because they're in on the fix. We'll get more into this on what we need to do with the education on Friday. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.